7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and we are going to be doing a live mock draft with a couple of listeners, and of course with Tom and Tim. So, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Josh. Ready to make fun of Tim for the next hour or so, laughing at all his shitty picks.
I'm a great drafter, Joshua. I cannot wait for the show.
Hopefully, I'll have a good draft and I can make fun of both of you guys. We are going to be doing a weird type of mock draft here. Let's see. Tom, you're going to be picking in spot like 2 or 3, right?
Yes.
Tim, you're going to be picking in spot what?
5.
That's for our Spanish listeners. And then I'm going to be picking in spot, I think, 10. I'm going to go with the zero running back draft strategy, which is you try to draft running backs as late as possible and get as many good wide receivers as you can.
I will be going zero wide receiver. I'm going to be hitting that running back spot early and often, try to invest some early picks in quarterback, tight end too, and wait on those wide receivers. Feel confident that the position is deep enough this year.
And I am going to do whatever the fuck I want, just like I do normally on this show. But no, my position, I'm just more of a flyer. Best available is what I'm going with.
All right. Again, guys, we are Pony Cake Sports. Before we get to this mock draft, you guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tom, at Pony Cake Tim. You guys can hit us up on our website, ponycakesports.com. Email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. Also, check our buddies out at CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you their way. They do a bunch of articles. They plug our podcasts on there. They do a bunch of good stuff over there. So, anything going on over there this week, Tim?
Yes, they have the 4th Annual Yarn Knitting Championship going on.
Interesting. Also, if you guys are listening to this, which obviously you are, you're listening, there are going to be some guys later on in this draft that we're going to be talking about sleepers-wise, all right? I know there's a couple guys that I'm targeting later, and I'm pretty excited to let loose to some of those guys. And you guys can also be talking about these on draftingsleepers.com. Go to that website and talk about it with us on some of the guys that we took later on in this draft. We'll be talking about it. You'll be talking about it. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about some sleepers.
Absolutely. I'm going to take Ocho Cinco. Is he a good pick? I don't know. Ask Drafting Sleepers.
Probably not this year.
So let's just start here before. I know the draft is just starting right now, but let's just again break down. I know we did a little bit here as we were getting started. There was a little bit of technical issues. But so Tom is drafting 3rd. He is a no wide receiver through the first like 2 or 3 rounds. Josh is drafting 10th. He's a no running back through the first 2 and 3 rounds. And I'm drafting 5th, and I'm just going best available. So basically what this will do for everyone is let them see, you know, where you're going to be able to get players, different draft strategies. It's not all about, you know, going after just certain guys. Give you the best idea of what you need to be looking for in your mock drafts. So
let's talk about pick number 1. Pick number 1 goes off the board. Le'Veon Bell, of all guys.
Makes sense. Caught, what he had, over 70 receptions last year. He's going to catch that many footballs this year. A little worrisome that he's not in camp right now. We'll see when he decides to show up for Steelers camp.
And next guy's on the clock there. Is it anybody that we know right now or no?
Negative.
Nope.
So what's your thought process going behind the no wide receiver route, Tom?
Well, I'm just trying this out. When I'm drafting in the top 3 in a fantasy draft this year, I'm going to go running back heavy. Normally, I've been seeing in the back end of the 2nd round and early part of the 3rd round, especially in flex leagues, you get good value with running backs. And your running back core is just tremendous. It's better than everyone else's. Give me Ezekiel Elliott, a Todd Gurley, and then like a Joe Mixon there, and I feel very good about my chances.
And I'm going with the no wide receiver or no running back route, so I kind of same thing. There's no way I would probably take a no running back route. But I mean, it's always an option because after this draft, I know I've messed around with it. I've done it a couple times now. It's not something I'm accustomed to and something I don't really want to do, but it's definitely an option.
So we should preface, you know, it went Bell, Johnson, Elliott. in some order, those are going to be your three in most leagues. Obviously, Antonio Brown could be thrown in there because it's a PPR league, but that's more than likely that's going to be your three.
A lot of people are saying Zeke. Like last year, I believe he only had between 30 and 40 receptions, and people are saying that's kind of his ceiling for that. But you got to look at David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. Their first seasons in the NFL, they only had between 30 and 40 receptions. Zeke's a good receiver, and I think his numbers are going to go up. I would not be shocked to see him catch over 50 balls this year, and that definitely elevates him into a top three pick in a PPR league.
Yeah, we will see with suspensions looming. Obviously, Tom, after your pick, obviously there was your brother-in-law actually on with us here in the mock. Takes Antonio Brown.
Smart pick.
At number four. Pretty cut and dry there.
Oh, yeah.
He is the top wide receiver, top PPR wide receiver. Makes perfect sense. So props to Tommy. After that, it's me. And I'm doing just the best available. And it's after, obviously, the top running backs are available. And I'm going Julio Jones. Julio Jones is my guy there. I don't see, you know, obviously you have the Jordy Nelsons, Odell Beckham Jr.'s, Devonta Freeman's. But outside of those top running backs, I feel like Julio is my safest bet for production there.
Yeah, that's the thing with the elite wide receivers. Is year in, year out, they are safer than anyone else. Getting Julio Jones at pick five, good value, Tim. With the sixth pick, we just saw Jordy Nelson go off the board. How do you guys feel about that? Personally, I like it. Jordy is my number two wide receiver. I like what him and Aaron Rodgers can do together. He catches touchdowns like no other, and I absolutely love the pick of Jordy Nelson right there.
Yeah, it makes me a little bit nervous, but hey, he made everyone nervous last year coming off of a knee injury and absolutely dominated. Having Aaron Rodgers, everyone saw that 40 or 50-yard bomb into a basket that he made in camp. So the Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers one-on-one is seamless. Seventh overall, Odell Beckham Jr. This is the most interesting guy that's being drafted as a top 6 to 8 pick to me. You know, obviously, New York doesn't have necessarily the best running game yet, but they have a lot of options to throw to. The addition of Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, although he has been injured at times, is still being has shown to be a very great wide receiver. The addition of one tight end, Josh, your love, Evan Ingram. A lot of mouths to feed right now in New York. What are your thoughts on him in a PPR system?
OBJ can be, you can argue that he's a top four guy in a PPR system, top five guy, but him going at seven, good value. He's going to get close to 150 targets, and that means he's going to come close to 90 to 100 catches, and he's going to score touchdowns. OBJ is one of the safest wide receivers in fantasy football.
Let's move on to to Devonta Freeman. Goes at number eight overall. A guy that I believe Tom showed love to last year. I did not, but obviously Dominic gets a new contract. What's he going to do in his contract year? The guy outside of the guys is how I like to refer to him. Obviously, I like him because of his age. I like him because of the system that he's in. But what are your thoughts on Devonta Freeman, Josh?
I like Devonta Freeman. I liked him last year, and I still like him this year. And he's still a top 10 guy. I think you have to give the guy his due. He had a very good year last year, and you still got to believe that he's going to be one of the top guys. Even with Tevin Coleman there, he's going to try to be earning that contract.
He's going to catch footballs in that system. Steve Sarkisian likes to throw the football to running back, so expect him to get 50 to 60 catches yet again, which makes him so valuable.
Next up, number nine, A.J. Green going off the board there, and that goes to who?
Your brother, Joshua.
My brother. He's actually on right now, and he takes A.J. Green. He's got A.J. Green in our Keepers League, and understandably so, he stays with the guy that he knows and trusts. So can't fault him for it.
You can't fault him for it, but I'm not a huge fan of A.J. Green, mostly because of the quarterback there, Andy Dalton, and because of the kind of traffic jam you have at the running back position right now. I feel like the Bengals are going to be trying to figure that out. I know you guys are extremely high on Joe Mixon, but I would be remiss to think that the Bengals are only going to throw Joe Mixon out there just to run the ball. Jeremy Hill is still going to get his touches, whether you want to admit that or not. Giovanni Bernard is still going to get his third down plays at times. They have to figure now. It's something that potentially could be figured out by week 4 or 5. Joe Mixon could just be the guy. They figured it all out. That's fine. AJ Green still AJ Green, but with past injury issues and everything going on, I'm just not sold on.
Next up, I am up and I am number 10, and I'm going that zero running back route. And some of the guys left here. I got Michael Thomas on the board. I got T.Y. Hilton on the board. But I'm going to go with none other than Mike Evans, Tampa Bay Bucks wide receiver.
I like it. He's the clear-cut number one option in Tampa. Yeah, he's not going to get force-fed the football like he has the past couple seasons, but he's still going to get a majority of those red zone looks. He's still Jameis Winston's favorite target, and he deserves to be a first-round pick.
After that, I agree with you completely. Mike Evans definitely still deserves it beyond of how many looks he might get. Let's do the next couple of picks here. Obviously, the end of the first and into the second round. LeSean McCoy, I mean, we've seen him go as early as like 1.5, 1.6 because he's on that level as a running back. But so it goes to McCoy.
Especially with all the reports now that they think that he might be the leading wide receiver on that team.
Yep,
absolutely.
Or pass catcher, I'm sorry.
Yep, McCoy. And then, as I like to call him, Eugene Hilton. Other people know him as Ty. And then another guy who could very well be a first-round running back being taken at 2-1, Melvin Gordon. What are you guys' thoughts on those picks?
I like Melvin Gordon. It kind of bothers me. My boy Forrest Lamp went down. He was going to be a day-one starter on the offensive line for the Chargers. They desperately needed help on that offensive line, but he is a bell cow running back. It's hard to find them, and that's what he's going to be for the Chargers. We saw what he can do last season when he's put in that role, and you got to expect the same from him. He's still young in his prime.
I'm completely fine with those guys going in that order. It just depends on what guys you like better than the others, you know. But with T.Y. Hilton there, you go back-to-back, you get T.Y. and you get Melvin Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
In that snake. And, love it. Having those two guys as one is your starting running back and one is your starting wide receiver, you can't really complain about it too much. Because who would you rather have? Would you rather have T.Y. Hilton, who has been proven, or would you rather have Michael Thomas, who is coming off of a rookie year that you may or may not get what you exactly want out of it? So, just talking about that, next up, number 14, Michael Thomas goes off the board there.
I like the Thomas pick. In my eyes, he might be one of the safer receivers in that kind of bust-proof system there in New Orleans, where Drew Brees is going to come close to throwing for over 5,000 yards, like seems like he does every season. And he's the clear-cut number one option there. He's going to get over 140 targets, probably going to come close to 10 touchdowns, over 1,200 yards. He's the safest guy in that New Orleans Saints offense.
Yeah, listen, with Drew Brees, I mean, we talked about it at length, and I believe in one of our last episodes that, you know, Drew Brees is what has 5 of the 8 over 5,000 yard passing season. So it's kind of a no brainer. He's going to do what Drew Brees does. So Michael Thomas makes all the sense in the world. After that, they followed up with the two Stevens brothers. Josh, I'll let you take that away.
Yeah. Next up, I went with Dez Bryant. I fell with Michael Thomas off the board there. Dez Bryant was the next best option. He is the number one guy there. There's really nobody else to contend with. So it makes a lot of sense going Dez Bryant here, and I can't really complain.
And starting with Mike Evans, Dez Bryant, that's a nice 1-2 punch at wide receiver, and it kind of shows you exactly what the zero running back strategy is all about, getting those stud receivers that you're just going to put in, and they're going to score you tons of points, especially in PPR.
And then after that, your brother Joey went with Jordan Howard, which I feel like is one of the unsung heroes of fantasy football, right? I mean, you're talking about the best running back behind Zeke last year. I know obviously people are down on it because it's the Bears, and I can't really blame anybody, but...
Yeah, with Jordan Howard, it's tough. It's a bitter pill to swallow.
Yep.
He had a great year last year. He finished number two rusher overall, but it's still the Bears, and you have a new quarterback, and you have 60 new wide receivers. Who's the ball going to? And that offensive line is pretty good, but they are moving Kyle Long to the left guard. They're adding a new right guard. They have a lot of pieces moving around, and it's very, very interesting on what they're going to try to do.
Yeah, and their center just went down with a torn hamstring. Off the bone, disgusting.
Correct. So next up, we have pick number 17 here, Rob Gronkowski.
Total upside. Gronk cannot stay healthy, but in a PPR league, if he does stay healthy, there's a very good chance you are in the fantasy championship. He creates that much of an advantage for your team at the tight end spot.
Yeah, I mean, what else? It's Rob Gronk. It's Gronk. It's just Gronk doing Gronk. You get him at that position, and he can he's the type of player that can win you weeks.
Oh yeah.
So if you get a win you week guy in round one, and then a win you week guy in round two, why wouldn't you do it?
Next up, we have DeMarco Murray going off the board at number 18.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray and Jay Ajayi go back to back at 18 and 19 overall, and kind of perfect placement for both those guys. So I don't mind it whatsoever.
Yeah, same here. Jay Ajayi, again, it's all going to be relied on exactly what's going to happen with Jay Cutler. Next up, number 20.
That's me. Second overall, I'm going to go with, I already drafted Julio Jones. I'm going to go with Amari Cooper.
I love it, Tim. Just straight up, I think Cooper's kind of being underdrafted right now. A lot of people are saying that Crabtree is the guy. He has outproduced Cooper, but it's Cooper's third year. Him and Carr, these two are going to be playing football together for the next 10 years or so. Cooper is the guy to own in Oakland.
Next up, number 21, Lamar Miller. He is bleh to me. So, and that is Tommy. Tommy drafted him. So
your brother-in-law.
I don't mind it. I hope they use him less, as odd as that sounds. But it seemed like he was used too much last year, was banged up. When he was used, when he was given 200 to 225 touches a year in Miami, he was a top 10 running back. Hopefully the Houston Texans do that.
Kind of weird that he picked him over Todd Gurley, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Which is what you just did.
I agree completely.
Todd Gurley, man. Look, he's going to catch the football. He caught the football a bunch last year, and now he's in a real NFL offense. I love him with Sean McVay this year.
Next up, we have Doug Baldwin, the wide receiver that you love to have, or hate to have. Which one would it be?
Yeah, both. That's the only thing I can say, both. You know, I feel like we've talked ad nauseum here that he's the type of guy who's going to help you win, but my problem is taking someone like him that early. I just don't feel like he is the guy. I mean, even if I have a running back one, I'm not, you know, even a solid running back one, I'm not saying, oh, hey, Doug Baldwin's going to be my wide receiver one to help me get to the championship. And beyond that, even though he is a valid wide receiver two, I don't think he's a wide receiver two to get me the championship.
Next up, we have Alshon Jeffrey and then Demaryius Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins coming off the board there.
I absolutely hate Alshon. I think he's one of those guys that he is straight up injury prone. That's what he is. Seems like he has all those lingering lower body injuries, the soft tissue stuff where it's non-contact, always hurting himself. I'm not a big fan of him whatsoever.
Yeah, same. DeAndre Hopkins and Demaryius Thomas, I kind of lump them in the same category. Not very good quarterbacks, very talented players, and not a lot else going around them. With the injury to who's your boy with Houston that got hurt?
Oh, Will Fuller.
Will Fuller. Who knows what's going to happen with Hopkins now? I mean, you're not going to have that speedy weapon on the other side.
He doesn't have much protection there.
Yeah. That's next fair. Up, Tom, you up?
I am up. Pick 27. This is a big-time reach, but I think he deserves to be taken here. I'm taking running back Joe Mixon.
Wow, above.
For the Cincinnati Bengals. Above Leonard Fournette. I think Mixon's the best overall running back, rookie running back in this class, and I think he's going to be the guy there eventually, and I think it's going to happen very early for the Bengals.
All right. That's a very interesting pick, Tom. I can't fault you for it whatsoever. Next up, Tommy, your brother-in-law.
And he took Fournette, the guy I just brought up.
Yeah, he took Leonard Fournette, who I'm a little bit shocked that you didn't go with. I know you're high on Joe Mixon, but I still feel like Leonard Fournette was the obvious pick. He was the go-to guy there. Prove me wrong, I guess. He's the guy. He's going to be run into the ground in a good way in Tennessee, and he's going to have a lot of production.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, and he's going to get a. He's going to be fantastic.
Tennessee, idiot.
Yeah.
As talented as Fournette is, I'm worried about that system there. I'm worried about their offensive line. I know Albert came back, but he's still listed on the reserve retirement list. And I just think Mixon's a better overall player. He can make more out of chicken shit. He's going to be given a lot of that. Cincinnati's O-line's not the greatest. But Mixon's receiving ability is what makes him above Fournette in my eyes, especially in a PPR league.
Next up, we have Tim on the board.
So I already had two wide receivers. I had Julio Jones and Amari Cooper, who are both number one wide receivers and both have that talent. And there's not a lot of running back talent that stands out to me at this point. So I'm going to go with a guy who I feel like is being a little bit undervalued. I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks. Has the ability to be number one, big play ability, and playing with Tom Brady with the talent that he has. I go into the season, obviously it scares me not having a running back yet, but having Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, and Brandon Cooks, I am extremely, extremely happy.
I don't think Cooks is going to be that kind of Randy Moss type that a lot of people are saying, that he's finally that deep threat that Brady has been looking for. The dude's been consistent, and people are kind of forgetting, in my eyes, or in my opinion, that he played with Drew Brees. But he's going to Brady. Brady is on the same level as Brees. They're both future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. So Brandon Cooks is one of the luckiest guys in the history of the NFL to go from Drew Brees to Tom Brady. I'm worried about how he's going to play outside and not on that turf. Historically, he has been a much better option and player playing on turf and not outside.
Next up, we see running back Marshawn Lynch going off the board here. Wide receiver Keenan Allen and Golden Tate.
I'm glad to see in this mock Marshawn Lynch kind of come down to reality. I've seen a lot of mocks where he's going even earlier than
23,
this.
24.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a little bit closer to the point where I think he should be. I think he should be closer to that late third into early fourth type of scenario. So I'm happy to see him come into reality. Keenan Allen, I like him there as well. Golden Tate, I feel like, is an extreme reach at that point.
Next up, we have Isaiah Crowell coming off the board.
Love Crowell. They're going to try to give him the football more this year. Last year, under 200 rushing attempts. That was because they were so bad and they were out of so many football games early on. I think they're going to be a better football team this year. His usage will go up. Number 34, Allen Robinson went off the board. And Sammy Watkins, how do you guys feel about that?
Well, considering I just took Allen Robinson, I feel pretty good. So I right now have Mike Evans, Dez Bryant, and Allen Robinson as my starting two wide receivers and my flex. And I feel pretty good about that. Going with the zero running back draft strategy, going with those three guys as my two starters and my flex, I can't feel too bad about it.
Yeah, it's not. It's good, Josh. I mean, I like Allen Robinson. I feel like that Sammy Watkins pick right after you was a huge reach. I'm not sure. We don't know who did that. And I'm glad we don't, because I would make fun of him a lot if I knew who that was.
Next up, like you said, Sammy Watkins went there. And then we have Jarvis Landry going off the board. Kind of a risky pick, but at the same time, he's very good with PPR.
I'm really not worried about Landry and the allegations with his domestic issue. He's a PPR stud. We were talking about Cutler earlier. I think Cutler is going to be good for Landry. He's going to be good for Parker and Ajayi. I'm not worried about Landry at all. Going to come close to 90 to 100 receptions again.
Next up, rookie running back Christian McCaffrey off the board here. And then Terrell Pryor coming off the board.
Interesting 1-2 punch there, I think, to end your third round here. I don't know. I like both picks. I like McCaffrey this year a lot, and Terrell Pryor, I feel like, is extremely undervalued.
I am up again, and again, keeping true to the zero running back draft strategy, I'm going to go with another wide receiver, and I'm going to go with Davante Adams. I feel like it's tremendous value getting him here as my fourth wide receiver of all guys. And yes, him and Allen Robinson do have the same bye week, but that just means I have to draft one more wide receiver, and then I feel pretty good after that.
He's the number two in Green Bay. What the number two receiver does in Green Bay is score touchdowns and finish as a top 15 wide receiver in fantasy. And I think Devontae has that spot locked up. As long as he's healthy, Aaron Rodgers is going to find him and get him the football.
Next up, my brother going with quarterback Tom Brady at pick number 40.
I am not a big fan of investing early picks on quarterbacks in PPR leagues. It devalues them overall, but you really can't hate on Tom Brady. He's going to be one of the most consistent quarterbacks. We saw last year how consistent he was. He was a top 15 guy, even though he missed four games. So Brady's going to be a number one quarterback. Lock it in.
All right. Next up after that, we have Michael Crabtree, Jordan Reed, Julian Edelman.
Crabtree's been consistent. He has been outproducing Mr. Amari Cooper. I think that comes to an end this year. But getting him at pick 41 is not bad. And I like the Reed pick, too. That's total upside in my eyes. When this dude's healthy, he's going to win you a ton of football games. You're going to be lucky if he plays 12 to 13 games, though, in my eyes. And that's what makes it so worrisome for me to invest a pick in the fourth round on Mr. Reed.
Would you rather take somebody like a Travis Kelce rather than a Jordan Reed at that spot?
Probably not at that spot, but maybe a round later. I'd feel more comfortable with a Kelce.
Next up, we have Aaron Rodgers at number 44. Another quarterback. Tim, that was you.
It was. I took Rodgers again. I know I'm not supposed to be the guy not taking running backs, but you know, I had my three wide receivers, and seeing someone like Aaron Rodgers there, having three potential wide receiver number ones with the firepower of Aaron Rodgers, I'm supposed to be going best available. All four of these got to get Tom's point of, you know, you don't want to devalue the PPR position, but Aaron Rodgers has every potential in the world to be the number one quarterback.
Yep.
And having three already PPR machine wide receivers, I have no problem taking that just point machine in Aaron Rodgers there.
Yeah, I don't hate that pick at all. Next up, Dalvin Cook, rookie running back right there. He is the fourth rookie running back off the board now, number 45.
He's being labeled as the guy in Minnesota. We were extremely high on this dude in the pre-draft process, and he landed in a good spot, and I don't mind the pick at all. I'm on the clock now. We were just talking about Jordan Reed. I'm going tight end here. I'm trying to stay away from wide receiver as much as possible. I think there's good value here, especially in PPR with Travis Kelce. I think he's going to lead the Chiefs in receptions. He's going to come close, 80-90. That's a lot of points in PPR. I'm going Travis Kelce. The Chiefs lock it in at pick 46.
That's a very strong possibility. You definitely could lead him in receptions. Next up, we have wide receiver Jamison Crowder.
Reach galore.
I don't think – you really think it's a reach?
I do. I would definitely take Emmanuel Sanders and Larry Fitzgerald and yeah, Tyreek Hill before one Jamison Crowder.
This guy's just a Washington Redskins fan, and last year they had 3,000-yard receivers. They're probably going to do that again. Kirk Cousins is going to throw the football around, and Crowder's going to be a beneficiary of that.
We have a couple running backs off the board. We got Carlos Hyde and Belial Powell, and then wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders.
I am on the clock now. Right now, I have three running backs and a tight end. I'm going to finally address the wide receiver position in the fifth round. I'm going to get very good value in this pick. Mr. Larry Fitzgerald led the NFL in receptions last year. And in a PPR league, give me a guy who can catch over 100 footballs in the fifth round. And that's a championship-winning pick right there.
I agree with that.
Next up, we have Tyreek Hill going to Tommy, your brother-in-law, of course.
Not a huge fan. A lot of Tyreek Hill's value last year came in running the football, in the punt returns and kick returns. A lot of that value will be taken away this year. He will be the number one in Kansas City wide receiver-wise, and I don't think that's really an upgrade for him. I think his numbers can go down, and going in the fifth round is a little too early for me.
I agree. Came more shock value. Tyreek Hill came with some shock value. That's going to wear off a bit.
Next up, we do have Mark Ingram, running back, coming off the board, and that's Tim again.
That's me. So my first running back, I drafted three wide receivers, a quarterback, and I am thrilled to get a Mark Ingram in the fifth round with the quarterback and three wide receivers. Obviously, the one's in a flex position. Have to address the running back position now. So if this is my actual draft, I am extremely, extremely happy.
Well, I'm not hating my draft either at the same time, but Tom, you're having a pretty good draft as the way that I'm looking at it.
I absolutely love my team, and I'm really liking this zero wide receiver strategy, in all honesty.
Yeah, it looks like you can get those Mr. Reliables later on.
Yeah.
Next up, we have tight end Greg Olsen off the board, And then Danny Woodhead, which kind of sucks because three picks later, I would have really liked him at pick number 58.
I was thinking about Woodhead. I think his value is awesome right now. You're getting he's got a legit chance to be number one running back PPR. He might be the leading receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm projecting him to have over 70 receptions this year.
In between those guys, Kelvin Benjamin went off, Martavis Bryant went off, and then it's my turn. And I feel like I need to go running back, but you know what? I feel like just Drew Brees is that much better than some of those guys on the board. Kind of make up for some of those running back points later on when I draft one eventually. So I am going to go with Drew Brees here.
I like it, Josh. You got your receivers already. Now you're getting a quarterback that gives you a big-time advantage that is underrated in fantasy football. A lot of people like to stick to what all the so-called experts say on the four-letter network, but if you're getting Drew Brees at pick 58, that is good value. Take it. Don't reach on some shit running back or wide receiver because Matthew Berry is telling you not to.
And those, get Drew Brees. These next two picks attest just to that. The next two picks, Ty Montgomery and Brandon Marshall, the type of guys that should scare you going into the draft.
And I like Ty Montgomery. I think he's in a good system, but Drew Brees should be taking over him every draft, even if it's PPR league.
Next up, quarterback Matt Ryan, and then we have Stephon Diggs going off the board.
It's hard for me to really love any wide receivers for the Vikings. Just not a huge fan of that passing attack, but Diggs, he's probably the safest guy. He missed some games last year. We'll see if he can stay healthy.
Now would be a time for me to go ahead and pick a running back because I still have none. But I said screw it, and I'm going to go with another wide receiver, Willie Snead.
Josh, if this was a real league, me and you would probably be having some good conversations.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stacked at the running back. You're pretty stacked at the wide receiver spot right now.
Yeah, I just like Willie Snead. I think he's totally undervalued this year. PPR-wise, I think he's going to be very good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a crap that Ted Ginn Jr. is slated as the number two wide receiver right now. You're going to see Willie Snead as the number two guy in New Orleans. Oh. And to pair him up with Drew Brees, I like it even better.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, we do have running back, and also two running backs just went off the board. Joey picked Theo Riddick, and then somebody picked Eddie Lacy. I'd rather have Willie Snead over those two guys right there, and even Spencer Ware.
I agree with that as well. I really think Willie Snead will be the guy, or the number two guy for the Saints. Right now they're saying that he's not labeled as the so-called number two receiver and starting in base formations, but he'll be doing a lot of his work out of the slot, and we've seen a lot of value come out of the slot for the Saints.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about any of those picks, to be perfectly honest with you. Eddie Lacy, I'm not sold on. They have a lot of options there at the running back position.
Next up, we have Tim. Is it you?
No.
Number 68.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is me. I'm going to go with my second running back. I'm going to go with Frank Gore. Someone who obviously his age is a concern, but has a high upside. If he keeps doing what he's been doing, then why not? I needed a running back number two. Have Mark Ingram. Let's throw Frank Gore in there.
Yeah, I can't hate on him. He's Mr. Reliable. The only thing that's going to worry me a little bit is Marlon Mack is getting a lot of praise right now. And even Turbin, of all people, they're getting a lot of talk.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying. He's getting a lot of talk up right now.
He always gets talk.
I know, and I agree always. With you. But it's still got to be worrisome. Frank Gore is another year older. I mean,
he's going to break down eventually.
You take him and you compare him to Dirt, they look pretty much similar. They're pretty close to it. They're old. So next up, we have quarterback Tommy going with who's that? Andrew Luck. Oh, your boy Tom.
That's who I wanted. In all honesty, I wanted Luck there, pick 70. He has been dropping down because of the injury concerns. I think he'll be playing week one. Worst case, I think he misses week one and plays week two. Might be a little rusty, but I still think Andrew Luck's going to be there, and you're getting him as a quarterback six in this draft. That's good value.
And with that being said, you are on the clock. Who are you taking?
I kind of need another receiver, but there's very good value right here at another running back spot. I'm going to 100% solidify my running back unit. I'm going to get Mr. Tevin Coleman. when this dude is playing, when he is healthy, he's a stud. And I brought up earlier with Freeman how Steve Sarkisian likes to throw to running backs. That's going to be Tevin Coleman's MO this year. He's going to be a good scat back for that system in Atlanta.
I was initially mad at you, but now I'm going to be mad at Tommy because he took Andrew Luck from you, which changed your pick. Yep. I wanted Tevin Coleman to fall to me. Not sure that he would have regardless, but nevertheless, it's a great pick. I like that pick, Tom.
Yeah, it kind of pissed me off because I was hoping that he was going to fall down to me a little bit later. Next up, we do have C.J. Anderson going right after your Tevin Coleman pick, and then we have Delanie Walker going, Eric Decker going, Russell Wilson going, and then Tom, you're up again.
I'm up again. I only have one receiver right now. I only have Fitz. I'm going to get the best available receiver right now, a guy with upside, Mr. Dante Moncrief, playing in a very highly explosive offense for the Indianapolis Colts. This dude scores touchdowns. He's pretty much Eric Decker 4 years ago is what he did last year for Andrew Luck and the Colts. I think he's going to continue that. I just expect his total yards and receptions to go up, which will make him worth a number two wide receiver spot.
And then after that, you have your brother-in-law, Tommy, going with Kyle Rudolph. I feel like it's a reach. A
little bit.
I feel like it's a reach. I know Rudolph, and he finished, what, one overall last year, or close to? He finished
number one.
I mean,
PPR, Kelsey was.
Oh, Kelsey was. Okay, so Rudolph was at least a top two, top three tight end. I get that, but at the same point, I don't know if Rudolph and Bradford are going to have the same success that they did last year, and I feel like there's very similar tight ends that you could have drafted a little bit later in the draft. After that is me again. At this point, I have Aaron Rodgers. I have three solid wide receivers. Obviously, one of them is my flex. And I have my two running backs. But, obviously, in Ingram and Gore, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. So I want to get someone who I could throw in at the flex and potentially back up these two running backs. I'm going to go with LeGarrette Blount.
Not a huge fan in PPR. He's most likely going to be worth a flex start. Maybe he'll get more of a workload than I think he's going to get, but I think he's going to be totally touchdown dependent, pretty similar to that Latavius Murray role last year when he was on the Raiders. But it'll be an interesting year for Blount. But the good news is Ryan Matthews had tons of goal line looks last year and was quite productive when he got those looks, so Blount has the same opportunity, but he's just limited in the PPR format.
Next up, we have Kirk Cousins going off the board, another quarterback. Mike Gillisley going.
Ah.
Tyler Eifert. Or not Tyler Eifert, I'm sorry. I'm going to take Tyler Eifert. I'm up right now. And right before me was Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson. So Tyler Eifert, I wanted to go with a tight end, is between him and Jimmy Graham. So,
are you worried about Eifert staying healthy, or are you just going straight up upside?
I'm just going upside for the most part.
Yeah, 'cause when this dude plays, he's just like Dante Moncrief, brought up that touchdown kind of dependent player, but so explosive in the red zone. And that's what Tyler Eifert is. And he's been completely dominant when he's been on the field with Andy Dalton.
Next up, we have running back. Oh, Mr. Paul Perkins. I hate Paul Perkins. I don't know why.
I hate this pick. They have so many weapons there that I'm not sure how many red zone looks or opportunities that Paul Perkins is going to get. And I'm not a fan of this at all. Not sure where they're at on that specific team in needs of a running back, but not a fan.
Mike Wallace going off the board. Devontae Parker, I'm back on the clock. I need a running back because I have none. So I am going to go with the guy that is actually a starter, Ameer Abdullah. Who cares? If he gets only 200 touches, hopefully they're all receptions.
I love that pick, Josh, in all honesty. People are sleeping on Abdullah. I think he's going to come close to 180 or to 200 rushing attempts. And if he gets that, he's going to be a number two running back in the NFL.
Next up, we have running back Adrian Peterson, drafted by my brother.
Your brother just snaked him out from under me. I was hoping to get Peterson and Ingram, have them kind of paired up to, you know, if you know, Peterson somehow took over. I was hoping to have a match, so didn't work out that way.
Tim, you're going to go with a wide receiver, right?
Well, I'm up. Yeah, after AP, you had Duke Johnson go, Cam went, Kenny Britt went. Now I'm up. Just, again, my goal here is best available. And to me, someone with the injury to one Mike Williams, which we don't know how bad it is, but there's all those rumors there, which seem to be true, that he's going to be out for the season. I'm going to go with Tyrell Williams. Had a great year last year, over 1,000 yards receiving. To have him as my wide receiver 4, I'm extremely happy with that.
Yeah, can't hit on that at all. Tyrell Williams put up big numbers last year with Keenan Allen down. Posted right at about 1,000 yards for the season. Looked pretty explosive.
Oh, yeah.
And what school is he out of? Do you remember? Is it Rutgers?
I'm not sure.
God, I'm drawing a blank on that. I have no idea. But, yeah, he had a good season overall, and with one Mike Williams being hurt, he could definitely have another good season this year. And then there goes Rishard Matthews, your boy, Tim. He gone.
Yeah, yeah, and that's okay.
Just a heads up, Tommy's a huge Titans homer fan. Ooh. So just give you guys a little heads up. But I am on the clock now. I'm taking a player. I've never owned a player on the Chicago Bears in any fantasy leagues, but I'm doing it right now. I like the value with Cameron Meredith. I think he's the number one. I have zero faith in Kevin White. That dude is soft as Charmin. Can't even look at newspapers or be trusted with a freaking Yahoo email account right now, because he'll keep forgetting that he was once a good football player. Newsflash, you weren't. You did all your damage on little bubble screens. You suck. Cameron Meredith is the dude for the Bears.
Welcome to the dark side, bro.
Wow, just going ham on that. I like that.
Had to keep it real for all the listeners.
Keep it 100?
Keep it 100.
No, let's not say that.
Next up, we have wide receiver John Brown going off the board, and my boy Adam Thielen going off the board at number 96.
As you like to call that white wide receiver. What'd you call him, the white guy?
The white guy on the Vikings.
Thielen, yeah. He's got a chance to be the number one guy. In Minnesota, they re-signed him to a new deal. It's impressive. Hopefully, he can start looking like Jordy Nelson again this year.
James White, CJ Procise off next, and then Tom, you are up.
I wanted Procise to get another stud PPR running back. I think Procise has a chance to be the guy there in Seattle if Fatboy Lacy goes down. But I'm gonna get another receiver. It'll be my fourth receiver. Total upside pick, Mr. Corey Coleman. I think he's got a chance to be the guy in Cleveland right now.
Yeah, I don't hate the Corey Coleman pick at all. You have Terrell Pryor leaving this past year, and somebody's gonna have to catch the ball.
Oh yeah,
and I know they drafted what 5 wide receivers last year, but Corey Coleman was the best one out of them all. So hopefully he comes to form, and we'll see him be one of the top wide receivers for that Browns club. And you know, he could be merged as a wide receiver 3.
We just had 3 good picks in a row. Well, Tim was one of them. Doug Martin went to Tommy.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
And then Tim, you're on the clock.
I'm on the clock. I obviously have everything else filled. I needed a tight end. I already have Aaron Rodgers, so I'm going to pair him up. Give me Martellus Bennett.
Love it.
Bennett's proven. You pair him up with Aaron Rodgers. I love that for my fantasy team.
That's good value. Pick 101, you're getting Bennett, a guy who's probably going to be a top 8 tight end.
Next up, Jordan Matthews off the board. And then Matt Forte, Dak Prescott, and then the pick that really pissed me off, Terrence West. I really needed a running back, too, and Terrence West would have filled in nicely. And my brother had to stab me in the back and take him right before me. So I am going to settle and take Kareem Hunt. Again, total upside. Rookie running back going to Kansas City. Hopefully he can unseat Spencer Ware and I would feel okay.
I like Kareem Hunt. He's going to be used. Josh, you should be comfortable. They're probably going to be down a lot week one. Kareem Hunt's going to get a chance to shine in the passing game for the Chiefs, and I think he's going to carve out a nice little role for himself week one.
Next up, we have running back Derrick Henry off the board. Kind of think it's kind of late for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's just hard. If you draft Derrick Henry, you pretty much have to have DeMarco, in my eyes. There's no other way I will draft Derrick Henry.
We also have tight end Zach Ertz, running back Robert Kelly. Again, now I'm very pissed off because at least Robert Kelly is the starter for the time being. Quarterback Jameis Winston, and now I have to take somebody. I'm going to take Jonathan Stewart, as much as I like McCaffrey, and I think McCaffrey will have an okay year. Somebody's got to run between the tackles. And I think Jonathan Stewart's still going to have a role and will get you some goal line touches.
He's going to score them tutties.
Next up, we have Joey again, Eric Ebron, tight end, value pick.
He's been listening to the show.
Yeah, they've been talking about him all season long, so yeah, I don't hate it at all. Wide receiver, rookie wide receiver, we have Corey Davis going off the board. Kind of crazy to think, very late, you got all these rookie running backs, Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, Joe Mixon, McCaffrey, all going in the top 50. Corey Davis dropping all the way down to 113.
Not a big fan of it.
Next up, number 114, you have Darren Sproles, Giovanni Bernard, and now you have Tim.
You know, I'm going to go with another guy. No, I just went with one Martellus Bennett to make that connection. I have some of the best wide receivers in the game right now, and I'm going to add someone who's kind of a wild card. Had a down couple of years, but I'm going to add Randall Cobb. I know it's not a fantastic pick, but at 116, having the quarterback that I do, if I have to play him, I'm feeling confident knowing that I have that connection and have the potential to score a lot of points. A big ceiling with adding someone like Randall Cobb to this team since I have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the other wide receivers that were just taken right after him. You have Robert Woods that was just drafted after him. I'd rather have a Randall Cobb than a Robert Woods. But then again, some people would rather have that quote-unquote number one option in Robert Woods. He's coming over from the Bills, going over to the to the Rams. So you can compare, but at the same time, I think Cobb is the better athlete and the better player. Robert Woods is in the better situation.
I'm up on the clock. One of my big-time strategies is drafting Ben Roethlisberger late. He's good for 8 games a year. You start him at home, and he does wonderful, so I'm taking Big Ben there. And I'm going to have to draft another quarterback to play when Big Ben is on the road because he sucks when he's on the road.
Yeah, he's not very good on the road, that's for sure. Next up, we do have tight end Austin Hooper going, and then quarterback Derek Carr, and then we have a defense going all the way at pick 121, Broncos defense.
It was early for Hooper.
Yeah, it was early for Hooper. I think it's still early for me for a defense right there. Broncos are good. They can get after the quarterback. They got a whole new system. A whole new system they're learning. They don't have Wade Phillips anymore. So it'll be interesting to see how that defensive plays. And Shane Ray is going to be missing a lot of time. So there goes one of their better pass rushers.
Next up, Josh Doctson, Samaje Perine, Tom. That's you.
That is me. He's my fifth running back. It's total lottery pick. That's what you do when you're picking late. He's got a chance to be the guy. Won't be the best PPR running back, but if someone might need a running back, he might be the guy eventually in that system, and I might have to trade him for something.
Well,
but
if somebody needed a running back, it'd probably be me.
after that, we go, who else is there? I believe
Tim, you're up.
Tommy took Jacquizz Rodgers. I'm up. Obviously, my running backs right now are Ingram, Gore. I have LeGarrette Blount, but I need someone else who is potentially a high upside guy. And in a PPR system, obviously there's some other guys there, but Chris Thompson has solidified his role with the Washington Redskins. And having someone like Kirk Cousins who likes to throw the ball in a PPR system, if I have to start him, I'm happy to have a Chris Thompson on my team.
Yeah, I don't mind Chris Thompson at all. I've taken him in a couple leagues. He's definitely a PPR guy, and right now he is slated as the number two running back, so it makes a lot of sense. I don't hate that at all. Next up, Seahawks defense is going off the board already. And then the great Ted Ginn Jr., the Chiefs defense special teams, Joey, again, snakes a guy for me, Zay Jones. But again, I have to go running back because I'm going to have to fill up as many running back spots as possible. I'm going to go with Thomas Rawls. Again, upside pick. Eddie Lacy, who knows if he can make the weight requirement all year, if there is one all year, and also if he's going to stay healthy all year. Again, Thomas Rawls is a guy that has not stayed healthy either, but he's shown that he's been very, very comfortable being that number two guy, and he can produce when being the number two guy.
Yeah, when you're drafting using the zero running back strategy, you got to take a lot of these running backs that really aren't sexy and just load up on them. Rawls has a chance to be the starter. After Rawls, we saw the Texans defense go off, and then Mr. Sterling Shepard, see if he is healthy. And then 133, one of my guys, Hunter Henry. I like his upside this year.
Yeah, I like Hunter Henry too. You still have Antonio Gates there, but it's not the Antonio Gates of old, right? So it just makes a lot of sense. Next up, we have, who's going there? A kicker.
Some random guy took a kicker.
at 134. I hate
you're
you.
Up, right? You're
way too early.
I am up, and I'm going to go again with another running back with upside. His projected total of receptions is 44, but I could definitely see him hit more receptions than that. Alvin Kamara from the Saints. To be honest, in PPR leagues, I may be taking Alvin Kamara in every draft, just for the fact that that Saints offense throws the ball a lot to the running backs, and I'm sorry, Ted Ginn Jr. is not going to get all of 117 targets, or 100 and whatever targets that, what's-his-face, Cooks had last year. So, Alvin Kamara, I like you at that spot.
Fair enough. Let's move on. Your brother taking Jamal Williams. I like the pick.
I like the pick a lot. Not going to provide a lot of value in catching the football, but dude can pass block. I think he's gonna take a lot of the goal line carries away from Ty Montgomery, so I like the pick.
We got a couple kickers going, and then Tim, you're up.
I'm up, and this is just, again, going best value at this point. I'd like to go another running back, but I feel like going with a Marvin Jones at this spot. In a PPR league, is a safe bet. You have someone in Matthew Stafford that likes to throw the ball. He's kind of a hit or miss type of guy, but if you have to spot start him, he has that big game potential.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Marvin Jones, the only thing is they have Eric Ebron. They brought in two tight ends. They drafted a Kenny Golladay. And Kenny Golladay is a huge, huge person. He's 6'4", 215 pounds. The guy's big, and he can catch the ball.
Definitely a boomer bust type of pick, but yeah. I'm okay with drafting him there.
And exactly. If he booms like he did last year,
yep.
The first three games were...
First
he was
half
on,
of the season.
Yeah, he was on pace for record-setting numbers, so I can definitely see where you're going with that. Next up, we do have Kenny Stills going to Tommy. We have Phillip Rivers. Tom, that's who you went with?
That is my guy. Look, when I draft Big Ben, I draft another guy to play with him. Brought that up earlier. And I think Phillip Rivers has a chance to be a top 10 guy by himself this year. Put these two together, and you're going to create one mega quarterback, even though they share a bye week, which kind of sucks, but it's late in the season.
Next up, we have a wide receiver there, Cooper Kupp, rookie.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
He's probably going to be starting. He's going to be running in the slot a lot for this offense. He's going to get a lot of looks, and he's going to be pretty valuable for a rookie wide receiver.
Some of the bigger names going off after that, we have Latavius Murray getting drafted at 149.
That was by me, yeah. I went, like I said, I needed another running back. I have Ingram. I have Gore. I have Blunt. I have Thompson. But, you know, Delvin Cook obviously is the guy there for now. Layabouts has had his injury issues, but if he can get healthy, if Delvin Cook struggles at all, he's still a rookie. He's had his own personality issues. Someone this late, you know, 149, I don't mind taking the risk on someone like Layabouts.
Little bit later on, I am going to go with another running back. I'm just throwing darts at a board now. Deonta Foreman from the Texans.
I like it.
Yeah, I just I don't know, guys. I'm looking at my draft strategy, and I don't know. I just don't know how I feel. All right, I don't know where to go from here.
It's not the prettiest team.
There's
in
some
the world
weeks.
Right now.
There's some weeks where I'm feeling like I'm probably gonna have to drink a lot of beer because I'm gonna be very disappointed in everything that's going on.
You're gonna take a bath some weeks for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Some of the other big picks going off the board after that, we have Rex Burkhead, who is now getting a lot of talk about goal line touches in practice. Throwing another dart at the board here. I'm going with our Darius Stewart from the Jets. Somebody's got to catch the goddamn ball there.
That's a good call. I like that late pick. It's a good flyer.
And then Tom, a guy that we've talked about quite a bit. Are you going to take him with one of your last picks?
Just took him. Mr. Joe Williams. Running back. He's my sixth running back, so I'm going to be able to stash this dude. I think he's going to eventually be the lead dog with the San Francisco 49ers. And we saw last year, what does Kyle Shanahan like to do with his running backs? He likes to throw them the football a lot. And that's what Joe Williams does well. He's going to be extremely successful with that. I could see him, if he doesn't have a significant role, sniffing 30, 40 catches this year and being somewhat fantasy viable.
And you totally skipped over my pick, so F you, Josh.
Oh, my
bad. I had just looking for best available there, and not a lot. I maybe should have gone Joe Williams. I'm surprised I didn't because I do have a man crush on him. I went with another wide receiver who potentially, we've heard a lot about him over the last couple of years, but Breshad Perriman. Now, if Joe Flacco's there, if they, like again, I know that they've had some additions, but he's been rumored to be the guy for a while. So to me, as one of my last filler guys, let's put Perriman in there and hope he is a boom guy rather than a bust.
Hey, Terry, he skipped that because it was a terrible pick. Perriman sucks. He's not the guy. He's probably going to be number four for the Ravens.
It's a flyer pick, man.
Let's talk about some of the teams that were drafted. And let's talk about our draft strategy, all right?
Yep.
Because, Tom, how do you feel about your draft and how it went with your strategy?
I absolutely love it. And I've been doing this in mocks where I pick in the top three or four. And I like my team every time that I do it this way. I like the zero wide receiver strategy. It's not very popular with the growing popularity and consistency of wide receivers, but I feel like my team overall is one of the better teams drafted in this league right now.
Yeah, I like your team. You've got some pretty good depth. I like the fact that you have Tevin Coleman on your bench. I feel like he'll definitely be starting quite a few games for you. I like the way you have the Roethlisberger and Pitt kind of back-to-back. You can play whoever's going to be hot at what time. I like the Perine and Williams picks. I like it. It's good. It's a good draft.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of those guys would be starters on my team. that's for sure. Getting Big Ben on the road is tough, but man, when he's at home, he is a lights out monster. Would have been nice if obviously you could have paired him up with a Martavis Bryant or something like that. But yeah, not bad at all. Looking at your running backs, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Joe Mixon, Tevin Coleman, you got another rookie on there. You got Samaje Perine, Joe Williams. You got very good value on where you got those guys. And your zero wide receiver strategy of Larry Fitzgerald and Dante Moncrief, getting those guys where you got them and still getting a top tight end in Travis Kelce, it just it looks very good.
Yeah, this strategy works very well if you are drafting early and you get Zeke. A lot of people are suggesting that he's probably going to get suspended and he'll probably be dropping in fantasy drafts. I don't think he should drop. I think he should still be a top three or four pick. And with this team that I have assembled here, look, Zeke misses first two games. I could put in friggin' Tevin Coleman and be fine. And then the rest of the season, Zeke's still going to be that top two or three running back in fantasy football. And I just don't see many weaknesses with this team. Not trying to pat myself on the back, but it's almost a perfect draft in my eyes.
He's like, it's bulletproof.
Yeah.
It's foolproof.
I pretty much win a championship.
Tim's like, I just whipped my dick out and put it on the table, and that's my team right there.
His name's Tom. My name's Tim. But yes, he did say that about his team. If there's any consolation, I feel the same exact way with my draft. I feel like I had a very good draft as well, going with the best available option. And I did not draft a running back until the fifth round. And I still, very rarely do I think that you're able to say that and you're happy, but I am. I know I went Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, Brandon Cooks. Like I stated earlier, all three of those guys are wide receiver one options. Obviously, you don't know what you have yet in Brandon Cooks and Tom Brady, how they're going to work with each other. With that being said, all three of these guys, I believe, are top 10 PPR wide receivers last year. All three of these guys have the ability to win you games, and add Aaron Rodgers to that mix, that's a recipe for winning, is what that is. And the running backs that I was able to accrue late in the draft, I'm a big fan of. Not necessarily PPR running backs, but the PPR talent that I got early in wide receiver, I feel like contradicts that perfectly. Mark Ingram, a lot of these guys are you don't know, but based off past experience, Ingram, Gore, and Blunt are three guys that are okay starting on any given week. Add the PPR value of one Chris Thompson. I'm a big fan of what I did.
Hey, Tim pretty much did a zero running back strategy.
Yeah.
You didn't mean to, but it's just how the draft fell to you.
Yep.
But I like this roster. You made good points with, like, there's going to be some weeks with this team. Julio Jones, Cooper, and Cooks. They're going to score you 60 to 70 points possibly, just those three. And then with Rodgers, if he has that big week. So you got plenty of potential to be just dropping tons and tons of points. The running backs, it does scare me. I'm really not sure what's going on in New Orleans. I'm kind of trying to steer away from that. But getting Ingram where you did is good value. I like Gore. Very good offense. I think his touches will go down, but he should still be a solid number two guy. I'm just not a big fan of Blunt. Thompson's a good PPR play, but
I'm not a huge fan of Blunt either, but no. In the red zone.
Yeah, he's going to score touchdowns.
He's got, like you mentioned earlier, Ryan Matthews did what Ryan Matthews did, and LeGarrette Blunt, he has to prove himself outside of New England for a change, but there's still something there.
It's a good team, though, Tim.
Yeah, your team is like the team that I would want for a zero running back draft. Talking about that,
your teams are similar.
Yeah, they're similar, but his running backs are definitely better than mine, especially starting running backs and his bench running backs as well. I also drafted a running back two rounds, I believe, after he started drafting. So instead of taking like a wide receiver like Willie Snead, or instead of taking a Drew Brees, I could have taken a better running back at those spots, and I could have been a little bit better off. Getting Drew Brees as one of the top quarterbacks is great value, and it does kind of equal out the running back ineffectiveness, I guess, or, you know, kind of like that. Amir Abdullah is my starting running back. I can deal with that. But Kareem Hunt, not so much. I feel like I'm going to have to try to move a wide receiver, probably a Davante Adams or an Allen Robinson. I'm going to have to move one of those guys, slide one of them up to the flex, and hopefully get a running back in return.
I feel like almost like week one with this team, you'd probably be starting Jonathan Stewart over Kareem Hunt.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, and so if anything, what we've discovered in this, and again, I was kind of just a floater. Tom was specific with no wide receiver. Josh was specific with no running back. Josh and I ended up having the same strategy. We've come to the conclusion that it might be okay to go no running back, but you have to be closer to that mid-round draft pick in order to do it, because I believe my wide receivers are more talented than Josh's, and the running back, you know, and that's debatable. What's not debatable is that the value that I have in running back is much, much better than what Josh has.
Yeah, it's very similar, but looking at Tom's wide receivers that he does have too, you have Fitz, who's a PPR machine. You have Moncrief. When healthy, he can score touchdowns like it's nothing. So, It's tough to give up huge picks for running backs early, but getting Ezekiel Elliott and getting some of those other guys that you did get, Todd Gurley, it does help out a lot.
Josh, so at pick 39, that was your fourth selection. You went four straight receivers. You took Adams there. Let's say you got Mr. Dalvin Cook, who went six picks after you. How would you feel with your team if he was one of your starting running backs instead of Kareem Hunt and you lost a little wide receiver depth? Would you feel a lot better about your team?
Yeah, I definitely would. And that's probably something I wasn't really thinking about. I thought Dalvin may still be around to pick after. Definitely didn't think Tommy would be, I don't want to say reaching, because it's definitely not a reach, because some of the running backs that went after him are Belial Powell and Carlos Hyde. But I thought Cook might have been around one more round after. Shame on me. And then Danny Woodhead got snaked right in front of me.
If you landed a Woodhead there and he was your number two, or even your number one, like, I really wouldn't be too worried about it.
PPR, I'd be completely fine if Woodhead was number
I would
one.
Like your team a lot more if you had a Belial Powell or Carlos Hyde. If you would have taken him in front of Davante Adams, I would actually like your team.
Well, I hate it. So, not a huge fan of my team right now, and there may be I couldn't go that wide receiver heavy again. I feel like getting those three stud wide receivers, and maybe instead of going a quarterback or going quarterback and then going running back, would make a little bit more sense.
What this kind of shows, though, is that in my opinion, you shouldn't really go into a draft, go into a draft saying, I have to draft like this. Because Josh went in the draft, said, I have to draft like this, and he hates his team.
Yeah.
Because his strategy, if he would have just taken the best player available like Tim, he possibly would have ended up with a very similar team, one or two changes that would have made his team better overall in his eyes. You just have to be willing to change. You don't go into a draft thinking you have to draft a certain way.
Exactly, and obviously it's the drafts are all going to change depending on what you do, but if Josh goes running back late and you know and is able to get a Melvin Gordon and then pairs that with a a Dez Bryant or something like that, if you have a Melvin Gordon and Jordan Howard, it's just going to all vary on where you are in the draft. I guess the main thing that this showed was if you are one of the first three picks and you have the ability to go with any of those three guys, Zeke, Johnson, or Bell, and then you pair it up with another running back after that, your team is going to be scary as long as you know how to draft deep. I think that's the main conclusion that I came to off of this mock.
Yeah, I would have felt a little bit more comfortable if my team started off with Mike Evans, and then I would have went back with Jay Ajayi or Jordan Howard. I would have felt a little bit better about that.
Yep, I agree.
Yep.
So it is what it is.
You want to cover a couple of the listeners who decided to join us?
Yeah,
their
let's
teams
do that.
Real quick.
What do you want to start off with? You want to do Team Rafferty?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that.
So we'll start off with Team Tommy Rafferty here. He drafted Andrew Luck. He got Lamar Miller, Leonard Fournette, Antonio Brown, Tyreek Hill, Kyle Rudolph, Dalvin Cook for his flex.
Jesus, Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings defense.
Not what you expect from a Packers fan.
No.
We got Will Lutz, kicker. He got Doug Martin. He took him right before I could.
Bravo.
Rashard Matthews, who, again, was pretty good last year. Jalen Rashard, I like that sneaky pick right there just for the fact that you don't know what Marshawn Lynch you're going to get. And then Robert Woods, he is still, quote-unquote, the number one on his team on the Rams, regardless of how crappy they are. Andrew Quease Rogers is going to be the starter for the first three games.
I think I like this team overall, and I think the getting Doug Martin and Andrew Quease Rogers both on his bench, though, it's smart. He just locked up a running back group, and he's got Lamar Miller. Not a big fan of him as your number one, but getting Fournette as well, and you can't go wrong with Antonio Brown.
This is the type of team that's going to be highly volatile, in my opinion. You know, take away the Andrew Luck injury concern, right? You have guys in Brown and Luck that can single-handedly win you weeks. I love that. I'm a big fan of that. You potentially have a guy that can win you week in Leonard Fournette. Lamar Miller at this point, being a running back one, is not a type of guy that can do that. That's just not him. He can have big games. He can be successful. But he is not a win-you-the-week type of guy. So, and then having a Tyreek Hill, which, you know, talk about highly volatile. That's Tyreek Hill, not Tariq. Tyreek Hill. He's the type of guy that can do that. You don't know what you're going to get out of Delvin. And then you have the Doug Martin pick, which I like. But outside of that, there's not much depth here, in my opinion. That's the other thing that scares me. This is the type of team that is going to be finish a game or two outside of 500, best case scenario, and is looking to win a bad division or be a wild card team.
Let's go move on to Team Buy, which is owned by my brother, Joey Stevens. And on paper, you look at it, and he's got a very good team. But look at weeks 9 and 8 and 7. He's got a lot of buys going on. Let's start off with his quarterback. Tom Brady, buy week 9. Jordan Howard, buy week 9. Isaiah Crowell, buy week 9. A.J. Green, wide receiver. Martavis Bryant, again, wide receiver, who's your starter, bye week 9. Eric Ebron, Theo Riddick, both byes on week 7. I feel like Joey was just drafting guys' names and not really looking at their bye weeks.
You know what? But with that being said, I mean, all right, screw week 9. Yeah. Obviously, that's who cares? You look at Josh, I love this draft by your brother.
Yeah.
I love it. You have Tom Brady who can win you games. Jordan Howard, the very best behind Zeke, did not get nearly enough credit. Now, hopefully that translates on a bad team. But give credit where credit is due. I kind of relate Jordan Howard to the way that Tom and I had Devonta Freeman last year, where we're kind of like, well, I mean, we don't really know what we're going to get. The Howard-Crowell pair, I love. Mm-hmm. A.J. Green and Martavis Bryant, I love. You know, okay, week 9 is going to suck. But with this team, and even Eric Ebron, with as late as he got him, I'm going into each week outside of week 9 thinking, you know what? There is a very, very good chance that I am going to win. It's a very, very good team. Jeremy Maclin potentially could be the number one there. Terrence West potentially could be the number one there. Adrian Peterson is going to get his play. Zay Jones is going to get his play. Jamal Williams potentially is going to be a starting running back at some point for the Packers. This is a team with a ton of potential, and I put this team on par with Tom and I's team as one of the best drafted.
Yeah, I like this team overall. You look at the flex. It's not really sexy, Theo Riddick there, but he is worth to be started at a flex spot in a PPR league. Lions are going to be using him more in the red zone as well. Same with Eric Ebron. They're losing Mr. Anquan Boldin. So I like getting both of those Lions selections. Both kind of, a lot of people are sleeping on both those guys. I like it, both of them overall. Maclin, AP is kind of a risk, but he's got some decent upside as well. He might be the guy in Nolens. And then you got Terrence West, who might be the guy in Baltimore. Kind of losing my flair with Zay Jones, though. Kind of worries me with Anquan Boldin, but still decent value for him as well, though.
It's a worry, but again, there's a high upside there, in my opinion. I know you guys were even higher on Zay than I was. With all the question marks there, I like the pick.
All right. Well, that was a fun mock draft regardless.
It was.
My team sucking.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun for everyone except for you.
Yeah, believe me, I'm like sitting here just looking at it and wish my team was a lot different than it is because it looks god awful.
Maybe next time we swap that the one, you know, the early pick is wide receiver only, the late pick is running back only.
Possibly.
And see how
absolutely
that,
terrible.
That pans out.
Unless if you take Antonio Brown at like four.
Yeah.
Right. We'll figure it out. But obviously the wide receiver only late does not work.
Yeah.
I feel like we can attest. We can say that with a lot of certainty.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tim. The wide receiver, you know, hitting first and not going those running backs, definitely not a great strategy, but it is what it is, and we're going to try it out over and over again. So, again, everybody, we are Pony Cake Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tim, at Pony Cake Tom, and hit us up on our website, ponycakesports.com. Email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. And, again, check out our buddies on CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. Tim, go.
They have the typewriter championships. Who can type the most words in 1 minute going on?
That's all we have for you guys. Look out for our next episode, which we are going to be breaking down some camp stuff. And, yeah, that'll be later on in the week. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later.